From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Romans as he brings the next portion of a message called The Cry of the Captive. The text is found in chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, a passage which describes the spiritual conflict of the Apostle Paul. Dr. Cairns has emphasized that these verses do not represent the normal Christian life. Rather, they relate circumstances which virtually every believer encounters in his spiritual experience. From the law, believers know how they ought to live, but the law cannot give the power to do what it demands. As Dr. Cairns will explain, there is another law in the Christian's body, the law of sin. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Amos chapter 9 and verse 9. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Every sifting comes by divine command and permission. Satan must ask leave before he can lay a finger upon Job. Nay more, in some sense our siftings are directly the work of heaven, for the text says, I will sift the house of Israel. Satan, like a drudge, may hold the sieve, hoping to destroy the corn, but the overruling hand of the Master is accomplishing the purity of the grain by the very process which the enemy intended to be destructive. Precious but much sifted corn of the Lord's floor, be comforted by the blessed fact that the Lord directeth both flail and sieve to his own glory and to thine eternal profit. The Lord Jesus will surely use the fan which is in his hand and will divide the precious from the vile. All are not Israel that are of Israel. The heap on the barn floor is not clean provender, and hence the winnowing process must be performed. In the sieve, true weight alone has power. Husks and chaff, being devoid of substance, must fly before the wind, and only solid corn will remain. Observe the complete safety of the Lord's wheat. Even the least grain has a promise of preservation. God himself sifts, and therefore it is stern and terrible work. He sifts them in all places, among all nations. He sifts them in the most effectual manner, like as corn is sifted in a sieve. And yet for all this, not the smallest, lightest, or most shriveled grain is permitted to fall to the ground. Every individual believer is precious in the sight of the Lord. A shepherd would not lose one sheep, nor a jeweler one diamond, nor a mother one child, nor a man one limb of his body. Nor will the Lord lose one of his redeemed people. However little we may be, if we are the Lord's, we may rejoice that we are preserved in Christ Jesus.
I have been through the valley of weeping, through the valley of sorrow and pain, but the God of all comfort was with me. By his hand to uphold and sustain. So I'll follow wherever
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
The law convicts, but conviction is not enough to change us. The law can't change us. So then, Paul says in verse 17, I'm consenting to the law that it's good. I know what I ought to do. I know what I want to do. Yet I don't do it. So then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And so important is this that he repeats it again in verse 20. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Now that's a profound statement of biblical psychology. I want you to notice this, that it's not an excuse for sin. Paul is not saying, oh well, you know, I desire to be holy on the inside, and it doesn't really matter what I do with my hands, what I look with my eyes, what I listen to with my ears, where I walk with my feet. It doesn't really matter, because it's not I, it's sin that dwelleth in me. Let's blame the devil, or let's blame sin, and I am excused. No, that's not Paul's thinking. It's not an excuse for sin. What this is revealing is a deep insight into the inner conflict of people who have been justified. They know that the old man was crucified with Christ, thus delivering them from being in Adam and bringing them into Christ. But their mortal body has not yet received the benefits of redemption, and it's still susceptible to the lure and the lust and the power of sin. It's no longer I, with my heart and soul. Is there a Christian here? Is it possible that there's a Christian anywhere who does not say, with my heart and my soul, I yearn to be holy. I consent to the law. I love the law. I love to be holy. I love to get through to God in prayer. I love to live in a way that pleases God. Is it possible to be a Christian and not love to do that? If you don't love holiness, you're not saved. Understand that. The Bible knows nothing of this kind of Christianity that is filling our pews with church members who are candidates for destruction. The Bible knows nothing of a Christianity that has all profession, but it has no love for God, no love for Christ, no love for the law of God, no love for holiness. That's not Christianity. Is there not a Christian here and you're saying, Lord, I love to be holy, but sin dwelleth in me? One thing is very clear here. A Christian can never, with his whole heart and soul, enter into what he knows the law of God condemns. And if he does what the law of God condemns, he despises himself for doing it. He hates what he's doing. And he recognizes that the law is pure and holy and just and good. Other people can with a whole heart breach the law of God. They do it, but not a Christian. It's not I, says he. The real I love to be holy. I love communion with God. I love the fellowship of Christ. I love the honor of his name and of his house. But sin dwells in me. This sin dwelling in me is the equivalent of the flesh, or the law in my members, verses 18 and 23. It's this principle of corruption. And I want you to notice it dwells in us. Contrary to what the perfectionists say, it is not rooted out. This principle of corruption is the source of all the evil that we do. And the awful thing is, there's nothing in us to overcome it. You see, now let me get back to the scenario I was preaching to you or describing to you a little ago, where you are feeling ashamed of yourself, you're under guilt, you feel the rising up of evil thoughts or desires, and others may not know what's going on, but you're struggling. And the law says, do not covet, do not lust, do not steal, do not look, do not this, do not the other thing. And your whole heart is saying, Lord, it's true, it's true, it's true. But yet, despite the truth of it, I'm still doing it. See what you're proving? There's nothing, nothing, underline it, nothing in you to overcome that sin. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now that seems to contradict what John says, does it not? In 1 John chapter 4, he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In chapter 5, verse 4, in 1 John, he says, whosoever or whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But there's no contradiction. You see, Paul in Romans 7 here is not speaking of Christians enjoying the ministry of the Holy Ghost. It has often been pointed out there's no mention of the Holy Ghost in these latter verses in Romans 7. Paul is deliberately leaving that out, up to this point anyway. What he's describing, you see, is somebody who's saved, but yet who's living inconsistently. I believe to be saved. I'm justified by faith. But yet, I'm trying to be sanctified by law. That's inconsistent. And as long as we're trying to do that, we're not living by the faith of the gospel. And therefore, Paul says, verse 18, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. Now listen, and again, have you not felt this? To will is present with me. Now this verb, is present, means literally to lie beside me. And it's used twice in this chapter. It's used in verse 18 of what's good. It's used in verse 21 of what's evil. Here's something lying beside us. He said, now, I don't need to go to the ends of the earth to find out what's good. I'm a Christian. I know what's good. And I'm going to make this statement to you. In the vast majority of things, there may be things that are very convoluted. Remember Mr. Pinkston doing a series of lectures at my request on bioethics and the things that will come up in this highly technological age that will face us with decisions that are very difficult to come to. And there may be things like that that require a lot of searching of the scripture. But for the most part, you have no difficulty when you're facing the issues of life in knowing what is good and what is evil. No difficulty whatsoever. To will is lying right beside me. That's what he's saying. To will, to do good, that's right with me. To choose the good, man, that's easy. That's easy. Every time you've responded to an appeal to pray more, give more, read more, witness more, give yourself to the service of the Lord, what have you done? You've been choosing. And I'm not for a moment questioning the sincerity of the choice. To will, to choose, to resolve. These things are right beside us. But doing, there's the rub. Doing is a different matter entirely. Watch as he goes on to verse 19. The law can tell you to do what's right. The good that I would, I do not. The evil which I would not or don't desire, that I do. If I do what I would not, it's no more I but sin that dwelleth in me. What's he saying? The law can tell me where to go, what to say, what to do. But while I agree with it, it doesn't help me to achieve holiness. All it does is convict me. Now follow me. The character of the law is not enough to make it able to sanctify. The conviction of the law is not enough to make it able to sanctify me. Verse 21 to 23 teaches me clearly that captivity is the wretched result of every attempt to be sanctified by the law. Read these verses carefully. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I want you to notice this carefully, for here we have again all experienced what Paul is describing. As soon as we resolve to do good, evil rises up. Remember what I said in verse 18, that the Greek verb here appears in verse 21 again? You see, to will to do good is lying beside me. But as soon as I will to do good, he says, and I'm going to give you the literal rendering of the Greek of verse 21, I find then a law to me who wills to do the right. Evil lies beside me. You see what he's saying? As soon as I resolve to do the right thing, there's this law that evil is beside me immediately. And as soon as we choose the right, as soon as we resolve to do what's right, evil rises up and the hindrance is there always in our way. Now we delight in God's law. We delight in it. But there is a very different law. When he says, I see another law, verse 23, there are two words that may be translated another. One means another of the same. If you speak of one child and then you speak of another, well, it's still a child, presumably still human. So it's another of the same. But there is a different word that means another that's totally different, of a very different kind, and that's what he's talking about here. There's a law that's another law of a very different kind, an evil force, an evil principle, an evil rule that opposes our delight in the law and opposes our resolve to obey it. Now let me give you a question and answer. Question, what is this evil principle? He calls it the law of sin. What is that? It's indwelling sin. It's the flesh. Question 2, how does it operate? He tells us in verse 23, it's in my members warring against the law of my mind. That is the effect of the law of God in my mind, the law of God instructing, enlightening my mind. This law comes along and it opposes it through the members of my body, in my members. It's using the flesh. The lusts of the flesh, the feelings of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, to stop our thoughts, to obstruct or distract our thinking away from the light of the gospel, and to stir up the passions of the mortal body. That's how it operates. Now, Romans 6 has already talked about this. Do not allow sin to reign in your mortal body. Question is, how are we to do that? And Paul's answer here is, not by the law. For every attempt, and I want you to see the absolute failure of this, every attempt to be holy by law will lead you to bondage. You see what it says here in verse 23, this other law in the members warring against the law of my mind. What does it do? It brings me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Leading into captivity. That's a very strong verb in the original New Testament. It's a military term. It means making one a prisoner of war. Literally, it would indicate taking somebody at the point of a spear. And if you're trying to be holy by principle, by rule, by regulation, by law, you will end up a prisoner of war. This is taking up the thought of Romans chapter 6, verse 13, where the apostle tells us that we're not to yield our members as instruments, as weapons. He's talking about as being in a warfare. Don't use your body as weapons of sin. We're in a war. and sin, the flesh, that evil principle of corruption that flows from Adam, that's still able to use your body because the body has not yet entered in to the benefits of redemption. Listen, in that war, sin can still use your flesh as a weapon. And the law cannot stop it. You can resolve, you can choose, you can decide, you can wish. At the end of the day, the result is that you're a prisoner of war.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.